Good morning, family. I'm going to start on a rather somber note because it's the mail that I've been given to deliver. Somber and sad. It's from Luke 19, 41 to 44. When Yeshua approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept. He wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. So keeping that idea of a time, a moment, an intrusion into a person's life of the visitation of the living Word of God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the redeemer of the universe, the visitation. When he is sent by his Father to do something, to create something, to change something. I pray, God, that our generation does not miss its time. What is it that he's supposed to do? What is he here to do? What's it all about? Well, as I see it, it's about what happened to the image and likeness of God. We know that that's what God had in mind when he created Adam and Chava. Let us make man in our image and likeness. So that tells you right there that the essence of a human being is to be like one of these. A human being is made to be a reflector of something else. So that tells you that a human being can never really be a radically independent agent with a life of his own. You cannot define what a human being is apart from God, because the human being is to be God's image and likeness. And so that tells you something about human beings, about how their mind works. Because it's like a mirror. Whatever you focus it on a lot is what it becomes filled with and reflects back out to whatever's around it. Whatever you focus on all day long and fill yourself with is what programs your soul and hardwires your brain. And once that happens, then it's automatic. You just do it and do it and do it over and over the same way, at the same level. We also know that because of the fall, the image and likeness of God was severely damaged, severely warped and twisted beyond recognition compared to what it was in the beginning. And so what's it all about? It's about God never giving up. It's about a God who's going to have what he wants the way he wants it. Sooner or later, it's going to happen. It's about the God who gets the first word and the last word. And we're somewhere in between those two words. So what's it all about? He sends his living word, not the theoretical word, not the theological word, the living word that creates and sustains and changes, that word he sends to restore the image and likeness of God in human flesh. Meanwhile, we're here on this earth filling ourselves with something. It's usually worldly stuff. And we get wired with it, we get programmed with it, and we reflect it back out. And you can see it written all over people's faces. You can hear it in their conversations. You can see it in their actions, reactions, and interactions. But one day, God sent his living word to invade the space of a man, a Chaldean, by the name of Avram. This is what it says in Genesis 17, verse 1. When Avram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Avram. See, and we already know that the Father is totally transcendent, invisible, intangible, pure spirit. But the way we can connect with him is through his word that he speaks and sends out. And so when it says the Lord appeared to Avram, it's the word. Remember Yeshua said, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. See, Yeshua, the living word of God, appeared to Avram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. What he began to say to Avram was really different than what God said to Adam after he fell. Remember how terrible that was? When he first created him, I will bless you and you will control the animals and you'll be my image and likeness. But after he fell, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread. The ground will grow thorns and thistles for you. It'll be a struggle. Everything you try to do will be frustration for you. You could see what a difference between what it was in the beginning and what it fell to. But now he's saying to Avram, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And everyone that blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, said the living word of God. See, and at that time, there was no Judaism. There was no Christianity. There was no synagogues, no church buildings, no ministries, no stuff. Just Avram's naked self and the living word of God connecting. And evidently it got through the living word of God was held and accepted and embraced by Abraham's heart. And he kept it there all the time. And so this man, from among all the rest, really changed. Instead of being one of these, he began to focus on the word of God that was within him. Now, people like this are not too exciting to the world. The world gets bored with them. But you ought to see what's going on inside of them. What is going on inside of them is not of this world. What is going on inside of them is an intimate interaction between the living Word of God and this poor little pile of flesh. And this person is guided and directed by another GPS system. It is not of this world. It is the Word of God. Not just the written word, but even before the written word was written, the living word, who speaks and performs. That's the one Avram was connected to. He recognized the time of his visitation and responded with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength, because the living word of God was making a disciple of him, a disciple of the word, who became the image and likeness of the Word because he lived like this. He was focusing on the Word within him, listening to the Word within him, obeying the Word within him, and that process transformed him into the image and likeness of the Word. Just like it was in the beginning. And God had in mind lots of people who would spring from this man. This relationship between the Word of God and humans is the root into which all the world must be grafted if they are to be saved. The root is the Word of God himself. Not stuff about him. Him. Himself. When Yeshua, the living word of God, appeared in the flesh, evidently he ran into a lot of people that were like this. I got to go to synagogue. I got to go to school. I got to study. I got to do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I must do this. I must do that. Bah, 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 bah. Stuff about God that became a wall that separated them from God himself, the living God. And because they were like this, when the living Word of God appeared before them in the flesh, they did not recognize him. He did not match what was inside of them. And they were not equipped to see and to comprehend and to submit and to follow him. Thousands did. But most of them did not. Is it any different today? Are we not filled to the gills with stuff that's temporary, that's of this world, and that will not last any more than the Titanic did? Beloved, we dare not miss the time of our visitation. I beg you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to this generation while we still have time. James said in chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. Don't we try to groom our people to be a success in the world? What are we doing? Where are our mirrors focused? Or do you think that Scripture speaks to no purpose when it says, he jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us? He jealously desires the Spirit that he has made to dwell within us. Where do you think our focus should be? If our focus is on him, the indwelling, living Word of God, then when he, the Holy Spirit, is operating all around, we'll recognize him. And we'll hear his voice when he speaks to us. But if we're like this, too much static, too much interference, too much nothingness. Oh, I'm too busy. I got too much on my plate. I got to go here. I got to do this. I got to tap, 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 tap. Do not miss the moment of your visitation. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. See, listen, God says, listen. That's his word again, isn't it? Eat what is good. And delight yourself in abundance. Starting to sound like an image and likeness of God again. Depending on what you focus on, what you program your soul with and wire your brain for. Incline your ear. Come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, You will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which knows you not will run to you, because the Lord your God, even the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it barren sprout, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Matthew 24, 36 to 39. But of that day and hour, no one knows. See, the word is coming back. But this time, when he comes back, it'll be too late for us to fix things or change things. Sort of like a test you're having, and you're busy trying to figure out something, and the teacher says, time! Drop your pencils! It's over! No more. That's the way it's going to be when the Son of Man returns in all of his glory. He says, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone knows. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. What happened? What's going on? What's going to happen to us? Those are the people that miss the day of their visitation. And everything they've been investing in, their time, their energy, their focus, their affections, will be washed away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered you under my wings, the way a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing. We could go on and on this, but we're running out of time, so I'm going to leave you with a challenge. I know how busy it is, this world. I know how tough it is. I know we've got mortgages and we've got bills and we've got children to raise and businesses to run. I know. But all of that is temporary. Do you really want to invest in the Titanic? Is that what you wanted to go for? I didn't think so. So here's the challenge. What if we, as believers, as disciples of Yeshua, the living Word of God, in the midst of our busyness, were to train ourselves to take 15 minutes a day, 5 minutes every morning, 5 minutes every afternoon, and another 5 every evening. Even if we have to go to the bathroom and lock ourselves in, to just be face to face with the living Word of God, who has promised to live in us and be with us all days, even to the end of the age. Five minutes. For Him alone. 5 minutes so that He can cleanse us. Like a shepherd, a little sheep comes to Him, His sheep. And the sheep has got all sorts of burrs and sores and mites and ticks and you name it. But He comes to the shepherd and presents Himself to the wisdom and the perfection of the shepherd so that the shepherd can go over every inch of Him and give Him what He needs so that the shepherd can speak into His heart and guide His steps with His rod and His staff of His commandments. So that He can bring all of His cares and concerns and needs to His shepherd. In the outrageous confidence that His shepherd loves Him and is perfectly capable of covering it all with infinite wisdom and perfection. 5 minutes. Another 5 minutes, the Lamb could bring every person that God has put into His or her life, every situation, every challenge, every concern, and bring them to the shepherd and lay them before Him so that the shepherd can go to the Father as the high priest and receive the Father's command and come back and carry them out on behalf of the flock. 5 minutes. Even if you have nothing to say, that's even better. Then you can listen. You can caress His face and let Him be who He is to you. Don't miss the day of your visitation. Don't let anything in this world swipe this from you. Don't let the powers of darkness use anything that's created and that's all around you or even within your flesh to yank you away from Him. Don't get so religious. Don't get so religiously busy that that becomes an excuse for you to ignore him. Then that thing, even though it looks religious, is enough to devastate every stone of your walls. I will leave you with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," verse 6, God is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah. Sounds like a mirror, doesn't it? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Yeshua's sake, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Do you have any idea of who lives in you? Do you have any idea of who lives in you? If we do, it's time to prove it. Amen.